So next Sunday is Christmas Eve, and I've already said it, but I want you to do what it takes. Get your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, and bring them Sunday morning to our service. Nobody gets offended to be invited during the Christmas season to a Christmas service, period. They just don't. So invite and bring and have them come. And as I promised, they will hear the gospel preached. I love preaching the gospel during this month. I love reminding people of the reason for the season. I love nativity sets at Christmas time. You all have seen traditional nativity scenes. This is a nice nativity set that my mother got for us, and I love that nativity set. But you've all seen nativity sets, but you got to understand there's no divinely sanctioned handbook declaring what the authorized official version of a nativity scene needs to look like. Because Jesus is the Savior of the world, nativity scenes tend to reflect the culture in which they are depicted. For example, our Native American friends would have a nativity set that would look something like this. Our good friends in Mexico would have a nativity scene that would look like this. In India, they're celebrating Christmas with a nativity that would look something like that. And in Russia, they celebrate with a nativity that looks kind of like this. These are all different because the gospel connects to every single culture. Even millennials have their own nativity set, complete with Segways and Amazon boxes and Mary and Joseph taking a selfie with baby Jesus. There is always things in nativity scenes that you can find in common. Mary, Joseph, baby Jesus, shepherds, wise men, animals. But there's also something that nativity scenes don't have in common. None of them have a dragon. But they should. You won't find a nativity scene anywhere in the world, actually, that includes a dragon. But I assure you, a dragon was there. You see, typical nativity scenes depict the birth of Jesus from Earth's perspective, using Matthew and Luke as their inspiration. But what we started last week, we're looking at the depiction of the birth of Jesus from heaven's perspective by looking at the revelation that was given to the Apostle John. And we are doing that because we need to remember just how truly cosmic Christmas is. And so we're going to read again from Revelation chapter 12, and we'll look at what the angels saw when Jesus was born. If you want to follow along in your own Bible, Revelation 12, John gives to us these words. A great and wondrous sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on his heads. His tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that he might devour her child the moment it was born. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. The woman fled into the desert to a place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care of for 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. And then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea. Because the devil has gone down to you. He's filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. When the dragon saw that he had been hurled to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. The woman was given the two wings of a great eagle so that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the desert where she would be taken care of for a time, times and a half a time, out of the serpent's reach. Then from his mouth the serpent spewed water like a river to overtake the woman and sweep her away with the torrent. But the earth helped the woman by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that the dragon had spewed out of its mouth. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring, those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus. And may God bless the reading of his word. I love Christmas carols because Christmas carols, I think, have some of the strongest, deepest theology in our hymns. But we know that Christmas songwriters sometimes typically use poetic license. For example, Silent Night, Holy Night, all is calm, all is bright. And it might have been a silent night in Bethlehem when Jesus was born. But in the unseen realm, all was not calm. John takes us behind the curtain to see a cosmic conflict being waged, and that the coming of Jesus took this war to a whole new level. And he lets us know what the angels know, that Christmas is messy. I know we like to depict Christmas as idyllic and genteel, but the truth is, even reading just from Matthew and Luke, Christmas was birthed in messiness. They tell a story of a scandalous pregnancy, of a young couple of meager means. I don't know what the poverty level was in their day, but whatever it was, they were below it. And they had to take a trip, a hard trip, out of town for a birth to a place no mother wants to go to put her baby in a place no mother wants to put her baby in. Nobody posts pictures of their newborns in a feeding trough. And then there was this maniacal despot who was threatened at this news. And this young couple have to leave their own country and their family and be asylum seekers in a foreign land. And then there is the unspeakably horrific account of the murder of little baby boys in an entire village. That was the first Christmas. And John lets us in on the source of all of that darkness and all of that evil, a lurking dragon. Remember what they heard, Revelation 12:12, but woe to the earth and the sea because the devil has gone down to you. We live in dragon territory, and we need to see the earth from heaven's perspective. Christmas is not a season for faking some kind of shallow cheeriness and just pretending that everything is okay. If everything was okay, we wouldn't have even had a need for Christmas. The world is broken. Evil is rampant. And justice is few and far between. And the innocent suffer. But into all of that darkness came a light. You see, Bethlehem was an invasion. It was heaven establishing a beachhead. It was the arrival of the only one who could slay the dragon. And John knows it will help us cope with all of the darkness around us if we get a glimpse of what is going on above us. And here's one of the things that was going on. A reign is being disputed. We do not call it Jesus-mas. We call it Christ-mas. Jesus is his name. Christ is not his last name. It is his title. The Anointed One. The King. That's what we are celebrating. That is what disturbed Herod. He did not dispatch a bunch of soldiers into Bethlehem to murder baby boys because he felt threatened by a good teacher or a life coach. He felt threatened by the news that someone had been born who was claiming a sovereignty that supersedes his own. And what the dragon has been doing ever since that time is using governments and powerful people to suppress the knowledge of the sovereignty of Jesus. I'm reading a little paperback book right now entitled Inside the Mind of Xi Jinping. And it is a compilation of all of his writings and speeches that he has given while in leadership in China. Xi Jinping is the leader of China. And China is a nation where religious freedom does not exist. And if you did what we are doing this morning in China, you could be locked away for life. Now, Xi Jinping would tell you that China does have freedom of religion. It's in their constitution. They have an official sanctioned church in China. What is also true is that almost all Christians in China attend the underground church. Because the official church is only allowed to teach certain things. And veteran missionaries in China will tell you one of the things that the official church cannot teach is the book of Revelation. Because Xi Jinping and the Chinese government knows the big theme of that book, that no Babylon, no emperor, no Caesar gets to have the allegiance of Christ followers. They know that Revelation teaches that every single government will bow to the sovereignty of King Jesus. Jesus did not come just to redeem. He came to rule. The reason for the season came for a reason. Listen again to what the angel said to Mary in Luke 1, verse 32 and 33. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. That is what disturbed Herod. When the wise men came to Jerusalem and they were searching and they were asking, "Where is this newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it arose and we have come to worship him." You see, the serpent has always known that the scepter does not rightfully belong to him. And while he totally failed in keeping King Jesus from coming, he has succeeded in keeping many from recognizing the sovereignty that he came with. And that is why all over the world, we celebrate Christmas with bows, but not so much with vows. We have parties and we shop a lot. We eat great food. And rarely do we invite King Jesus to join us. You see, in any culture, you're going to have to stand up to the dragon. And you're going to have to be resilient in your surrender to the reign of Christ because we live in dragon territory, but we can live as victors Because we realize our enemy can be defeated. I love the song in the midst of Revelation 12. It's poetic in nature, but it is a song, and it's about you, it's about me, it's about us. It's about the body of Christ. Listen again, verse 11 in chapter 12 of Revelation. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. And what John is saying is that we have been equipped with cosmic weaponry with which we can defeat the dragon, starting with the blood of the Lamb. Apparently, there was a time when Satan was actually allowed to hang out in heaven. You can read in the first two chapters of the book of Job, and there is Satan in the very presence of God in the courtroom of heaven, and he is assailing the loyalty of the people on earth who serve God. Why was he allowed to be there? Why was he allowed to do that? Well, because his accusations were true. His accusations were tolerated because they could actually be validated. Everything he said about us as sinners was absolutely true. That's God's great dilemma. He is a just God. He cannot be in the presence of sin. How can he hold on to his justice and show mercy to sinners who justly deserve to die for their rebellion? That's what Christmas is all about. And God's answer was the God-man. Not half man, half God, but fully man, fully God. Jesus of Nazareth, who could live the life that we were meant to live, an absolutely obedient life, an absolutely sinless life. And then he could take the punishment we deserved, and he could offer us his righteousness. And so the cross, God is able to throw the accuser out of his presence and out of his courtroom, because his accusations don't stand up anymore. That when Jesus is lifted up, the serpent is cast down. And the very blood that evicted the serpent is inviting us into the presence of God. That's good stuff. That is the heart of the gospel. That's good preaching stuff right there. That's why Christmas is good news. Listen to what the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 10, verse 19. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter into heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. You see, the sureness of their salvation gave a boldness to their confession, and it still does. All over the world right now, Christians are defying the dragon, and they're declaring the rightful king is Jesus. And some of them are paying a tremendous price to do that. Richard Wurmbrand was a pastor in Romania when it was under a communist regime. He spent a lot of his life in prison. And he wrote a book that I think every believer should read called Tortured for Christ. There's a paragraph in that book that I found inspiring. He wrote, "It was strictly forbidden to preach to other prisoners. And it was understood that whoever was caught doing this received a severe beating. A number of us decided to pay the price for the privilege of preaching. So we accepted their terms, the communists. It was a deal. We preached and they beat us. We were happy preaching. They were happy beating us. Everyone was happy." You see, what the king has done is he has come into dragon territory and he has deactivated the dragon's most ultimate weapon. What can the dragon do? All he can do is threaten to kill you. And he does. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. Notice they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They didn't love their lives so much as to shrink from death. In the book of Revelation, by the way, the word martyr and the word witness are the exact same Greek word. And what you have happening all over the world are people are standing up to the dragon saying, all you could do is kill me, but I'm not afraid to die. And so he does. He kills. Revelation chapter 6, verse 9, when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. And the number of those souls who are martyred is still growing. I said last week that around the world, on average, 10 Christians are martyred every single day. They lose their life for the sake of holding fast to their testimony. And the dragon can take their lives, but their testimony takes back ground that the dragon once held. Because the Christians know their death is not their end. You see, we need to see Christmas from Earth's perspective, but understand we are in a conflict we cannot escape. So we need to see Christmas from heaven's perspective and realize that we are in a conflict we cannot lose. You see, this war has been decided. Notice the dragon could not conquer heaven. And he knows he can't hold the earth. Don't miss those words that were read in that song in Revelation 12, verse 12, the latter part of the verse. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. Read the Gospels. No demon ever comes up to Jesus and says, you can't make me. Demons instead say to Jesus, have you come to torture us before the appointed time? Demons tremble and flee at the mention of his name. He is the King of Majesty. And here's the irony. Even though the dragon and the demons know who the king is, they are fully committed to duping you and me into not knowing that. They know how this conflict is going to end. And in the power and sweetness of the Holy Spirit, John is given a revelation of a final battle to give to us, to encourage us. You can read it in the 9th chapter of Revelation, but I'm going to just give you a summary. The king shows up on a white horse, and that is very significant in that culture. When a king went off to war in that day and age and he would win the victory, he would come back to celebrate riding a white horse to symbolize that he had won. He's the conquering king. But Jesus is on a white horse before the battle because he's already won it. And he's got blood on his robe. It's not the blood of his enemies. It's his own blood. It's the blood that he shed so that he could evict the serpent from heaven. The blood that washes away our sin. The blood that makes it possible for people to enter into the presence of God. And here's the coolest thing. There is no battle. He speaks, and it's done. The battle's over. And the end result is that the dragon is hurled down one more time. The first time he was hurled from heaven to the earth. The next time he's hurled from the earth to hell. Amen. And on that day, the sovereignty of King Jesus will be recognized by everyone. But cosmic Christians, we do it now. Even in a dark, hard, messy world, even in dragon territory, cosmic Christians recognize who the true king is. General Johnson Wainwright was captured by the Japanese in World War II. And because of his high rank, he was treated worse than most of the other prisoners of war. In his own words, he was a broken, starving man. And then the Japanese surrendered, and a colonel was dispatched to that POW camp to tell General Wainwright he was now in charge. Going back to his barracks, some of the guards that used to harass him tried to once again harass him. And he bowed up strongly and said, "No, I'm in charge now. You obey me." Makes a complete difference how you handle your surroundings when you know how the war ends. It helps to deal with what's going on around us when we know what has happened above us. And so we overcome. Even though we live in dragon territory, because we know the dragon is no match for the lamb. Yes, life is messy, but lamb power is mighty. And that was John's Christmas message. Trust the lamb. And by the way, we overcome the dragon the same way the lamb did. By self-giving love. What the Lamb has taught us is that love is stronger than hate. Good is stronger than evil. Light is greater than darkness. There is no power in the cosmos stronger than sacrifice. In 1968, in international waters, the USS Pueblo was attacked by the North Korean Navy. Some soldiers were injured. And the Pueblo has to allow itself to be captured. And for almost a year, 80 men in the United States Navy endured horrific treatment. One of the stories that came out of that was when 13 sailors were taken and put in a room, told to sit around a table rigidly for hours. After about 3 hours, the door flung open. A North Korean soldier comes in, and with the butt of his rifle, he begins to beat savagely the man sitting in the first chair. The second day, they're sitting at the same table in the same seats. The door flings open again after hours, and that same sailor is beaten again with the butt of his rifle. By the third day, the sailors kind of get the gist of what is happening, and they also know their friend cannot take another beating like that. And so when the soldier came in the next time, a different sailor was sitting in that first chair. And every single day, they would put a different sailor in that chair to take that beating for the rest of his friends. And finally, the North Korean captors just simply stopped beating them, because they could not conquer such selfless sacrifice. The dragon chooses the love of power. The lamb chooses the power of love. And the lamb is mightier than the dragon. Life is hard and pain is real and evil is rampant. But into the darkness, a light has come. And because of Jesus, we can overcome. Not by hating and fighting, but by loving and dying. And by trusting that what King Jesus started at Bethlehem, he is going to bring to a finish. So, church, here is my word to you this morning. Have yourself a merry cosmic Christmas. Stand up, I want to pray over you. Father, we thank you for this season. We thank you that we can make space to celebrate and enjoy good food, to be with family. But we also recognize and realize life is hard. And thank you that we don't have to pretend that pain is not real and loss is not felt. Thank you for giving us a glimpse into a bigger story and for telling us how the story ends. Help us these next few days to be more aware of what King Jesus has done, what he is doing, and what he is going to do. Help us to believe the Lamb is mightier than the dragon. We pray this in Jesus' name.